Hospitals arguably are scientific places. Doctors order tests, they do exams and use machines. But at Valley View Hospital in Glenwood Springs, a team of chaplains is ready at a moment's notice to tend to any patient's spiritual needs. Lauren Martin's business card says he's Valley View's spiritual care coordinator.
Dash chaplain.
He and his three colleagues are basically professional empathizers.
We sit with another person in the midst of their fears.
When he gets to work every morning, Martin does rounds.
Which means go from patient to patient, introducing myself. Very quickly, I let them know that I'm not there to proselytize.
He'll pray with a patient if they want, but really, he's just there to chat about anything, about feeding birds or John Deere tractors. However, he's not there to do things like
tell a joke or to distract them. Or to say, oh, it's going to be fine, you'll be fine, you're resilient, you're gonna make it through this.
Some of his patients are very sick, like Todd Cecil, who just celebrated his 60th birthday.
I thought I would turn 60. I don't know if I'll turn 65.
He has a rare form of bladder cancer.
Plasmacytoid urethral carcinoma.
And he's been in the hospital a lot. In 2017, for instance,
I had either an appointment, a procedure, a surgery, a hospitalization, lab work, something, at least once a week, every week, from the beginning of January until the first week of October.
When you're spending that much time in the hospital, it's nice to have someone like Martin around to talk with. Cecil says he and his wife are very close, but they don't have kids, and he doesn't have many friends, let alone male friends, except for Martin.
He's probably the one male I've talked to more than anybody about any of this.
Which has been helpful to both Cecil and his wife. It makes it so she's not the only other person there for her husband. And that's what spiritual care is all about, shouldering some of the emotional weight. Patty Harris, who pioneered Valley View's spiritual care program, remembers what it's like to be in the emergency room when someone's being resuscitated and their family members are just standing there in shock.
I can hold my hand on their arm or help them stand there and watch. And I can make eye contact with the staff because they're looking at me as though they're looking for support.
When Harris first started her work at the hospital in 1998, many on the staff were skeptical.
I'd walk down the halls and nobody would even make eye contact with me. It's, what's she doing here? They were doubting, you know, do they want to trust me with their patients? Which is a very legitimate question, I think.
They'd had problems before with religious people coming to the hospital to proselytize. Eventually, Harris won the trust of her colleagues. The work of spiritual care, she says, speaks for itself. As an example, 25 years ago, two medical schools in the United States offered coursework on spirituality and healthcare.
Today, 100% of them do. It's recognized that this is essential to healing.
Spiritual care is no panacea, of course. Terrible, unfair things still happen to seemingly innocent people. Harris calls these cases the whys.
Why is an innocent child killed or hurt? Why is a young mother of three children developing cancer at age 40?
Still, Harris says spiritual care is more crucial now than ever. With our increased dependence on technology, patients expect to get well quickly. When they don't, they need human connection, someone who will listen. Lauren Martin likens it to a room full of stringed instruments.
If you pluck a C string, all of the other C strings will say, I recognize that frequency, I know what to do with that, and they begin ringing. Somehow the same thing is true within people.
His job is to recognize his patients' frequencies and to ring along with them for as long as they need. Wyatt Orme, Aspen Public Radio News.